Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
6.
Bhavayantyatma bhavanam.
Bhavayantyatma bhavanam.
Atmani prota bhuvanam.
Atmani prota bhuvanam.
Param sadasadatmakam.
Param sadasadatmakam.
Ye twanam yena bhavena.
Ye twanam yena bhavena.
Bhavayantyatma bhavanam. Atmani prota bhuvanam.
Atmani prota bhuvanam.
Param sadasadatmakam.
Param sadasadatmakam.
Ye.
Those who.
Twa.
On you.
On you.
And on yena. Without deviation.
Move. Bhavena,
with devotion.
Bhavayanti,
meditate.
Atma bhavanam,
who generates all living entities.
Atmani, within yourself.
Prota,
linked. Bhuvanam,
all the planets.
Param,
the supreme.
Sat,
effect.
Asat,
cause.
Atmakam,
generator.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, all these planets exist within yourself, and all the living entities are generated from you. Therefore, you are the cause of this universe, and anyone who meditates upon you without deviation attains devotional service. There's no purport. I'll read the next verse.
Tesham supatva yoganam jita shvasendriyatmanam labdha yushmat prasadanam nakutas chidpara bhavaha.
There is no defeat in this material world for persons who control the mind and senses by controlling the breathing process, and who are therefore experienced, matured mystics. This is because by such perfection in yoga they have attained your mercy. Purport. The purpose of yogic performance is explained here. It is said that an experienced mystic attains full control of the senses and the mind by controlling the breathing process. Therefore, controlling the breathing process is not the ultimate aim of yoga. The real purpose of yogic performance is to control the mind and the senses. Anyone who has such control is to be understood to be an experienced, mature mystic yogi. It is indicated herein that a yogi who has control over the mind and senses has the actual benediction of the Lord, and he has no fear. In other words, one cannot attain the mercy and benediction of the Supreme Lord until one is able to control the mind and the senses. This is actually possible when one is fully engages in Krishna consciousness. A person whose senses and mind are always engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord has no possibility of engaging in material activities. The devotees of the Lord are not defeated anywhere in the universe. It is stated, Narayana Parak Sardave. One who is Narayana Para, or a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is not afraid anywhere, whether he is sent to hell or promoted to heaven. Okay, two things are discussed here, or mentioned, two processes, demigod worship and yoga. Both can be used materialistically, in other words, selfishly. In general, yogis are interested in their own salvation, their own perfection. It depends. Different yogis have different goals. Some want siddhi, want power. These are actually tantrics. They want to have power over other people. Influence, control. Others actually want liberation, but they're very few. And then some are using the yoga process as a means for developing devotion to God, but that is even much more rare. Madushyanam sahasreshu kasjid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kasjid mam viti tatvataha. Out of many thousands of human beings, only one is interested in this spiritual practice, yoga. And of those, only a few make much progress in it, actually get some siddhi, some accomplishment. And of those, only a few understand what the real goal is, devotion to God. Otherwise, the yogis and other persons aiming at some sort of perfection have a selfish aim. The yogis, you know, want these various things. They, at the best, they want liberation, or they just want some power over other people, or something even cheaper than that. They just want to make a false show. In some cases, they just want to take people's money and gather a couple of disciples, just for fraud. In the worst case. And then we have these demigods here offering their prayers to Brahma, addressing him as the Supreme and making a show of devotion to him. This also has two sides, just like the yoga process can also be used as an expression or a practice of sadhana bhakti. Kriteya dhyayato vishnum. The devotion to Lord Vishnu was achieved in Sati Yuga by practicing yogic meditation, dhyayato. So it is sometimes, for some people, the way to develop love of God. Similarly, worship of the demigod Brahma can be a way of expressing devotion for the Supreme Lord. If you address Brahma as the representative of God, and you have that proper understanding of what he is, what his actual position is, and you don't harbor any misunderstanding that he's independently supreme, then by worshiping the devotee who is the servant of the Lord, that is the best worship of the Lord. Madbhak puja vyadika. Worshipping my devotee, Krishna tells Uddhava, is better than worshipping me. It's more effective for quickly satisfying me than trying to approach me directly. It's to approach through my devotee. So worship, glorification of the devotee, very much satisfies Krishna. When someone tries to come directly to Krishna, Krishna may be suspect, may have to suspect what's the person's motives, what is he after. But when a devotee approaches Krishna through his other devotees, then Krishna is much more easily satisfied. You know, there's something wrong when we have to go directly to Krishna. That means that we don't have trust and faith in the devotees. Then what is the level then of our trust in Krishna? If we don't want to associate with and to serve his devotees, what kind of devotion do we have for Krishna? It's very immature.
So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his travels in India, he would meet many people who claimed to be advanced Vaishnavas. And he would always ask them the same question. Under whose guidance are you practicing the service of Krishna? Who are you following? And they very often answered, no, I'm approaching Krishna directly. And then he would simply ignore those people. He would not take them seriously as Vaishnavas. A serious Vaishnava doesn't try to approach Krishna on his own. He always does it through the service and taking the instruction and guidance of more advanced servants of Krishna. So, therefore, what the demigods are doing here in offering their prayers is appropriate for them. Maybe not all of them are pure devotees. Maybe they have mixed motives in relative degrees. Different demigods, there's an assembly of demigods offering these prayers. So there are different persons on different levels of spiritual advancement. Some of them are pure devotees. Some of them are not devotees at all. Some of them are in between. But even this collective offering is appropriate because it's glorification of the devotee as a devotee. If it's misunderstood as worshipping Brahma as independently supreme, then it's erroneous. Anyway, if one becomes these two processes of demigod worship and yoga meditation are alluded to here, but just as the demigod should not be worshipped as separate, these things can be engaged in Krishna's service, but not as separate processes, not for their own sake. We can use meditation in Krishna's service. We should. We should meditate on Krishna. In the Pancharatras, it's described how one should focus his mind before chanting the Gayatri, before doing worship. He should do pranayama, he should do meditation, dhyasa, mudra, and so on. This is standard Pancharatrika practice. Meditation is part of it. Dhyana is part of the worship process. But it's part, subordinate to worship. And when one attains to the higher level of devotional service, what is described by Srila Rupa Goswami as Raghunuga Bhakti. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur in his Raghavartma Chandrika says that the dhyasa and mudra is detrimental to the practice of Raghunuga Bhakti. All these rituals for meditation are not only not required, but they get in the way of the intimate meditation on Radha Krishna. Of course, we're not necessarily on that platform, so we can do some dhyasa and mudra or a few things if it helps our devotional meditation. But not too much. It's not the style of Mahaprabhu's practice of bhajana so much. We use the Pancharatrika practices, but in a subordinate sense. Our main track is the Bhagavad path. Krishna's names, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the service and association of the Bhagavats, devotees of Mahaprabhu. This is our path. This is our salvation. And anything else we do should be understood as secondary. Even our deity worship is for the purpose of supporting our Harinam, our Nam Sankirtan. Our primary process is Nam Sankirtan. Someone may be engaged as a pujari, that's his service. Lord Chaitanya himself designated that some devotees should serve the deities. Some he gave Govardhan Shila to Shalagam Shila, or they had deities of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya told them that this is your service, to worship, to do the puja. So that's Prabhu Datta service, the service assigned by the Lord or by his representative. And then we may spend all of our time or most of our time doing that. But still, our primary process, even though we may spend only a few hours a day doing it, is Harinam Sankirtana. On the strength of that, we're able to worship Krishna's deity. Only on the strength of that in Kali Yuga. Nama Sankirtana Prayayar Yajantihi Sumedasaha. In this Kali Yuga, those who are intelligent are able to worship the Supreme Lord by yajnas,
by sacrificial performances, but those sacrificial performances are, first of all, the performance of Nam Harinam Sankirtana. And then we can worship deity. We can do Homa. We can sit down and meditate, but only on the strength of Harinam. Otherwise, we don't have the ability. We can think of that in the Pancharatrik terms, that chanting Hare Krishna is the Purushcharanam, the preliminary process that purifies us and makes us able to take the Diksha and begin the worship. But it's not just that. That's from the looking through the, you know, the colored glasses of the Pancharatrika viewpoint. From the absolute different viewpoint of the Bhagavad Vidhi itself, it is the process. It is our whole process. And everything else is secondary. Okay, so any questions or comments?
This was as a cause and effect. Is it usual? I mean,
yes, it's common to translate sadhu as cause and effect. Okay. There are other ways to take it also.
Yeah.
But you know, if you try to take it literally, what's real and what's not real?
Yes.
Well, why is, you know, if what's not real, what if it's not real, it doesn't exist. So the Supreme Lord is, you know, the basis of the real and the unreal. You know, the rabbit's horns and the square triangles also come from the Supreme Lord. What does that mean? You know, the asad is nothing, if you take it literally. But if we give it some substantial meaning, then it makes more sense that the Lord is the source of all causes and effects. Well, everything that's temporary, or you can say everything is temporary and everything is permanent, spiritual and material energies. That's another way to understand it. But if asad means nothing, then what, you know, what's the significance of being the source of nothing? What doesn't exist at all? Yeah. Nothing's the source of what doesn't exist at all. Well, you have different kinds of non-existence, according to Nyaya understanding. Nyaya philosophers analyze that there's some previous existence, previous non-existence, subsequent non-existence, mutual non-existence, and absolute non-existence. So if we're talking about absolute non-existence, then it's nothing. It never was anything, never will be anything. It has no existence relative to anything. But we have other kinds of relative non-existence. Something, you know, I didn't have something, now I have it. So subsequently, previously it didn't exist. But now it exists. So it had a previous non-existence. Or I have something and I lose it, it's destroyed. Then it has a subsequent non-existence. I have a pot that's not a cloth, so there's a relative non-existence. The pot is not a cloth, you know. But absolute non-existence means it never was and never will be. And if something has, you know, like a square triangle, there never was one and never will be one. It's just words put together, but they don't refer to anything. So, what's the glory of the Lord that He's the source of the square triangles? Nothing. So, therefore, to make this glorification of the Lord, the asat has to be something. Okay. Anything else? Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.